Father, we just thank you right now. I thank you for all those who came out to sit at your table tonight, Father. I thank you, Father God, for those who truly want to enter into your presence and receive all that you have for them, Father. Father, I thank you that you're here with us tonight. And we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God's entitled this tonight, A Time and a Season. And we're going to read Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. There's a time and season for all things. God said the body of Christ is headed into troubled waters. But I am in the troubled waters and I will never leave nor forsake you. You know, you really have to look around about you and look with through spiritual eyes and see what's going on. You just can't look with natural eyes and know what's going on in heavenly places. And, you know, God said he would never destroy the earth with water ever again. But he did say he would destroy it with fire. And look at all the fires that are going on everywhere. And places are being burned, and Australia especially is a mess right now. Is God burning the earth right now with fire? These are things you have to think about. What is going on really in the land? And you know, he's told us the false prophets are here right now. And I was reading a scripture about the Antichrist and the false prophet. And I do know that there's some out there on the circuit right now that actually have churches and they're prophets, and they're really false prophets, but people are following them. And that just goes to show you how near the end of times that we really are. Now, we don't know when Jesus is going to come back, and I'm not even going to pretend like I know, but I do know that God said that we are working at the end times, and we are preparing for the second coming of Jesus Christ. The body of Christ must become sure-footed. God's been telling us that for quite some time now. We must become sure-footed where the enemy cannot take us off course. But yet I still look around the body of Christ and I still see people playing games with God. And I don't understand why you would ever do that, knowing what you do know and knowing what the Bible says. And you just look all around about you. Look at the darkness, especially in the body of Christ. You know, I just read, I think it was Kenya or someplace, where the pastor stabbed his wife to death in church, jumped up in the pulpit and stabbed himself 3 times and cut his own throat right in a church service. You know, what's the world coming to? Think about this. You know, we are in very serious times, and the church is not taking it serious enough. All right, God said the body of Christ is headed into troubled waters, but I am in the troubled waters, and I will never leave nor forsake you. I don't even know if you even believe that tonight. You're going to have to believe that. You're just going to have to be in your knower, and you're going to know that you know that you know, or the enemy's going to take you out. God said you have become children of the Most High God, and you have come through many turbulent seas of gross darkness. And you have overcome each and every storm of life that the enemy has thrown your way. You have become children. You have become children of the Most High God, and you have come through many turbulent seas of gross darkness, and you have overcome each and every storm of life that the enemy has thrown your way. You are not bastard children, you are true children of the heavenly kingdom, and in you and through you are all things possible. Why? Because you abide in me and I abide in you. Now, God said, you have. But as I look around the body of Christ, you don't know that you have, because you're still acting in the old time frame. Start watching what so-called Christians are really doing. And they're not walking like they are victorious. They're really not walking in the love of God. And they don't even understand what God's even saying to them. Not even when he prophetically speaks them. They question a word and they want to know, well, what exactly is he saying? It's your prophetic word. You take it to God and you ask God what he's saying to you. All right? See, when I'm saying all this, because you're supposed to be leaders that are going to lead others who don't know anything about God whatsoever, and you're going to be leading others by what you know. What do you really know? What do you really know? You know, the other day, somebody who's been saying, oh, there is no God, and blah, 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 that kind of junk, you know, and they come to me and they says, will you please have your people to pray? Pray for this woman who just found out she has cancer and only has a few weeks to live. That same person up till then kept telling me God doesn't exist, he doesn't perform miracles, but yet he came to me and asked me to do that. Why did he do that? Because he's watching my walk with God, and he knows I do not waver, and he knows what I believe in, that I trust God. Now, people have to see that in you. They have to be, they're watching your walk. And they're watching everything you're doing and saying. And where are you leading them to? This is what you have to ask yourself. All right. God said, are all things possible? Because you abide in me and I abide in you. And the word abide is what I want to talk about. To abide is a verb and it is active. Abiding in Christ is not a feeling or a belief, but something we do. It means to remain or stay and endure. Read that again, because you all don't abide. You know, the body of Christ as a whole does not abide. To abide is a verb. It is active. Abiding is in Christ is not a feeling or a belief, but something we do. It means to remain or stay and endure. And endure. John 15:14-16 says, abide, Jesus speaking, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, Jesus says, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. There's your if. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, that's how you glorify God, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. You know, we have to abide in the love of God at all times. All right, to bear fruit simply means to grow in character. To bear fruit simply means to grow in character, to become more like Christ and reflect the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And this is where we come to his command to abide. Abide in me and I in you. If you do that, you're going to be bearing much fruit. Much fruit. God says, children, as you continually abide in me, you will continually grow in the knowledge of what heaven is all about, and you will transfer that knowledge to all you come in contact with. What does he say? As you continually abide in me, not every now and then, but continually abide in me, you will continually grow in the knowledge of what heaven is all about, and you will transfer that knowledge to all you come in contact with. God says, you see, your very countenance will reflect my glory, and it shall touch many nations, and all men will be drawn to your light that reflects for all to see. God says, you see, your very countenance, in other words, I can look at some of you people and I can see the glory of God on your faces, will reflect my glory, and it shall touch many nations, and all men will be drawn to your light that reflects for all to see. How bright is your light? Is what you have to ask yourself today. Is it bright enough to draw all men to you? God said, this is not just a passing whim. It is an everlasting domain that you will abide in continually. The word domain is the territory over which dominion or authority is exerted. The possessions of a sovereign or commonwealth or the like, also used figuratively. So God said, this is just not a passing whim. It is an everlasting domain that you abide in continually. As you abide in this domain, the lost souls will be drawn. What domain is he talking about? In God, continually being in God, continually doing what God's asking you to do, and continually dying out to yourself daily, and being the love vessel God has called you forth to be. As you abide in this domain, the lost souls will be drawn to your light, and you shall speak of salvation, and you will continually see soul after soul come into my kingdom of eternal light. See, if you remain in the very presence of God, you are going to win souls for God. That is why you don't see souls being won in the body of Christ. You just don't. Because the body of Christ does not abide on the vine, and the body of Christ does not continually stay in the presence of God, and therefore you don't have the anointing to draw all men unto God. Are you seeing this? Come on. God said, you will continually see soul after soul come into my kingdom of eternal light. And Isaiah 63 says, the nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Now, there's Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 5. I think he gave this 4 or 5 years ago. Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light. See that? And kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they all gather together, they come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Now, why isn't the Lighthouse Church walking in that? I want you to answer me that question. Not out loud, please. I want you to think about that to yourself. Why is your light not shining? Why are you not winning souls to Christ? Now, I know you go out and you witness and you can't make people follow Christ. I know that. But I want you to stop and think, are you really winning souls? Is your light that bright that just you'll talk to people about God? It'll make them think about what you said. You know, some plant, some water, and others harvest. Do you plant a seed that God can send somebody by to water? Then somebody else comes by and they harvest that seed. I want you to think about this tonight. God's going to hold us responsible for that scripture. He really is. And it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. 4 or 5 years ago, God, remember, God told me the glory is in here, but not in all of its fullness. Why isn't it in all of its fullness? Because you're still not a glory carrier. I'm not chastising you. This is just what God is saying. But he wants you to stop and think very seriously tonight. Where are you at in your walk with God? You know, just because somebody did something a year ago to hurt you or really where God said get away from them, that doesn't mean you should shun them in church. That doesn't mean you should wipe them off of your list. Just don't invite them into your house. You're still supposed to minister love to them. You understand what I'm saying here? The body of Christ does not understand their walk with God, and therefore they don't do what is right. And instead of winning souls, they lose souls, right? And God wants us to start winning souls. And Matthew 5:14 says, you, each one of you in here, Jesus speaking, are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How did I get born again? Because a lady that I went to college with, she'd come in and pick me up because I worked at the college. And we go upstairs. She had a foul mouth in her, but she was a really nice person. And she came in that night, wouldn't even speak. I said, what's wrong? Are you upset? And she didn't say nothing. Finally, halfway up the steps, we had to go up the second floor. I said, what is wrong with you? Why are you acting different? And she said, I want you to go with me tomorrow night. I want you to meet the person I met. And she took me to the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association, and I met her, Jesus. I've always served Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. And I was just like her. I became born again, and I was quiet, too. I was always quiet. But, you know, I just acted differently. But, see, it was her light. You see what I'm trying to get to the point? It was her light that was shining that night when she came to pick me up for us to go to class. If she'd have come in there cussing and carrying on like she usually does, I wouldn't have wanted to go where she went. But her light. And this is what we have to work on. We have to work on our light. God's saying our countenance. The way we treat people. Every time we go into Walmart to kiss, we got to go by and see if Nancy's there. Nancy, Nancy, they yell halfway. And you know, this is the way we should be excited like that, just to see people, just talk to them about Jesus, right? Come on. We don't have no excitement when it comes to the lost. Revelation, now if the shoe fits, put it off and done, just take and go on with it. Revelation 21:2 says, and the city has, they're talking about God's throne room, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. See, this is the way we should be. We shouldn't have to have any light around, you know, in the room when we walk in. If it's dark, we should dispel all darkness. Now, I'm going to tell this story again because I'm just trying to get you people to understand something. My aunt died, and I went home to the funeral, and I walked into the funeral home, and everybody got real quiet. And they said, who just walked through the door? And everybody was watching me, and I got embarrassed because I had to go clear across the room to where my father was at. And I got just about close, you know, I got about as far as here to Nancy. And he said, that's my daughter, Jimmy. And they said, they called me Jimmy, by the way. That's Jimmy? And they said, yes. And they said, wow, what is different about her? See, I walked into a dark funeral home. I didn't know I had the light of God on me. But the light of God made everybody stop and turn around to see who came in the room. I'm telling you this to let you know you have to be a showstopper too. You have to have a light that shines so bright that it will cause people to stop and see what's different about you. When I started working at the college, the main guy called me into his office. Oh, no, I'm going to be fired. And he said, everybody in the college wants to know what's different about you. And I said, I don't know. And I just waited for him to say, you're fired. He said, they said there's just something totally different about you. And when they come into your office, they don't want to leave it again. Well, I didn't understand what I know now. And I said, I honestly don't know what's different about me. If you want me to change, I'll change if you tell me what to change. Oh, no, stay the way you are. They want me to find out what's different about you. I couldn't tell them because I didn't know. And God said, you see, little ones, this is definitely not a small thing about your light. Not all will carry my glory. See that? Everybody's not going to carry God's glory. But those that do shall see great signs, wonders, and miracles prevail wherever they go. Why will they see great signs, wonders, and miracles? Because the glory of God will be shining upon you, and that glory is going to draw people to God, and then that glory is going to cause signs, wonders, and miracles to occur. When I used to be evangelist, my mother would go with me sometimes, and I'd go into the church where I was at, and people would come crying, just hugging me, and she said, oh, they're just lusting after you, you know, the men. And I said, Mom, no, they're not. It's God in me that's drawn them. And a lot of them gave their hearts to God. It wasn't me. It was the light that I was carrying. Do people come up to you and wrap their arms around you and cry and just say, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I just had to come and hug you. They wanted to hug Jesus. But then the body of Christ is so full of pride. Oh, look, they want to hug me. They think I'm so wonderful. No, they don't. If you have God in you, it's a God. Anyhow, if you really had a God in you, you wouldn't think that way to begin with. But what it is, it's God in you is drawing all men to him. All right? Because God said, not all will carry my glory, but those that do shall see great signs, wonders, and miracles prevail wherever they go. These vessels will not be rooted in one location. Now you have to listen to this. These vessels will not be rooted in one location, for I will be sending them from sea to sea, and they shall touch many nations with my gospel of love and peace. So some of you guys are going to say, I want you to move. Pack your bag, you're going to move, or I'm going to have you travel here or travel there. You have to do that. Because when you signed up with God, you signed up to do whatever he's calling you for to do, right? All right, and let's read John 2:11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. This beginning of miracles, that was turning water into wine, did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. See, the miracles happened because the glory of God was on him. Do you understand this? You are not going to be able to perform signs, wonders, and miracles if you are not carrying the glory of God. And then it says, and his disciples believed on him. Now, we are in this dispensation of time once again where God wants to begin the miracles, because he told me over 10 years ago, I've stopped the miracles, the signs and wonders and healings. I stopped it because the body of Christ is trampling all over my son's blood and all over my Holy Spirit. Now God wants to start doing signs, wonders, and miracles again, and he's looking for glory carriers. Now this verse that we just read said, when the disciples saw the miracles, they believed in him. That is exactly what God is doing right now. When people start seeing the miracles at work, they will begin to believe in our Jesus that we profess. Are you seeing this? When people see you, when you are carrying the glory and God starts using you to perform miracles, it's going to cause people to believe in Jesus that's going to cause people to believe what you're talking about. But if you're just doing the same mundane old thing over and over and over again, and no signs, wonders, and miracles are occurring, you're not going to draw anybody to Christ. Are we here listening tonight? You know, I've had people write me and say, the word you gave this morning changed my whole life. I get quite a few emails like that. It isn't me. It's the anointing that's on the word that God's given. And God knows exactly who is going to read that word and exactly what they're going to have to hear. And I've gotten some emails where somebody said they were going to commit suicide, but because of the word that they read that God gave me to give, they changed their heart and are now serving God. Why is the anointing? Used to be, people would say, my son came here, he got a prophetic word, he told me to listen to it, told us to listen to it. The anointing was so strong on the tape, we had to come and see what about the anointing. You see that? The anointing was on, the tape carried the anointing. Where there is rumors of war, this glory will bring peace, you know, that you're carrying. And all those that walk in this glory shall have a mindset of, I will overcome all darkness, and I will bring many souls into the kingdom light. That's what your mindset's going to be. I will overcome, you know, you yourself are going to come all darkness, and I will bring many souls into the kingdom of light. Matthew 24:6 says, in Jesus speaking, ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So what are we hearing about right now? Wars and rumors of wars, right? Some people are actually starting to write that 2020 is going to be the end of the ages, that Jesus is going to come in 2020. Prophets are saying that. Verse 7 says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. We're seeing all this stuff right now, right? All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, overseas they are being afflicted and killed because of their belief, but so far in America we are not, but God is saying it's going to come into America. And verse 10 says, Jesus still speaking, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Verse 13 says, Jesus says, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. But I've been hearing there's many nations that have not been reached yet. So the end cannot come right now. And I don't know when it's going to come, but I really don't care, because we are supposed to be about the Father's business, not being concerned when Jesus is going to come again, but concerned about the souls that need to be ministered to before Jesus comes a second time. John 14:1 says, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And John 14:27 said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now, how many in the body of Christ don't even know that scripture because they don't live it? That's why I'm saying they don't know it. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. You know, the world gives a false peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. How many right now, because of the Iran situation, oh my goodness, they're running around like a chicken with their egg. It's not going to happen, guys. Not right now. Just forget about it. Just go on about the Father's business. All right? And then God says, as you just read in my word, I am calling you to go forward undaunted by the winds of adversity and conquer on all sides. And that's why we had all these scriptures we just read. My angelic hosts will be with you, and they shall fight the battles for you. You see, you don't even believe that. How many of you get in the car and you get the angels around about your car real quick like? How many of you send the warring angel forth to remove the road of any obstacles that Satan has placed there for you? Yeah, we need to use you guys that travel to every service. You really need to have your angels at work, because those roadways are a mess, aren't they? And you really need to be covered. God said, I need you to be the leader. Now listen to this. I need you to be the leader that I can send. And as you obey, the angelic host will be given instructions to stay with you and fight the battles that ensue. So when God sends you, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen to you, because God is going to take care of you. God says, nowhere will you find that I left my chosen warriors without a battle plan. As they sought my face, I told them exactly how to, I told them exactly how to pursue and win, and I will do the same for you. And Daniel 10, 1 through 3 is an example of the angels fighting your battles. It tells you all about how the battle went on in the heavenlies when Daniel was praying. And Joshua 6 talks about the walls of Jericho falling down. That's another example of angels working for God's people. All through the Word, you can read about the heavenly hosts fighting on your behalf. If you really check into that, there's scripture after scripture after scripture telling you how the angels work on your behalf to fight your battles for you. I can guarantee you that every one of us sitting in here tonight, if we didn't have angels fighting for us, we would be dead right now. Don't ever take anything for granted. If it wouldn't be for God and His angelic hosts, you wouldn't be here. Do you know how many? You don't even know how many times God has saved you from being killed. You really don't, because God sent His angels forth to protect you and you know, see that no harm comes to you. All right, Exodus 14:14 said, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. How many times has God told you to be still? You know, when you're in a tizzy and God will give you a prophetic word, He says, now be still. And 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And Deuteronomy 3:22 says, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God Himself will fight for you. Deuteronomy 3:22, do not be afraid of them. That's your enemies. The Lord your God Himself will fight for you. God said, children, understand right now that every battle is written out. I know how each and every battle will end. You need not go forth into a battle concerned. Go in perfect peace. So what He's saying here, doesn't matter what goes on in your life, He already knows the outcome of it. So as we give it to Him first, He's already got it taken care of. And He's just saying to you, be still. Be still. You know, I wish you would just sit down and look back just for a second and look at where you've been, what you've been through, and where you're at today. And thank God for His grace and His mercy. Because without God being, you probably weren't even serving. No, I know most of you weren't even serving God then, but He knew where you were going to end up at. And He kept His hand of grace and mercy upon you until you came to this point in your walk with Him. And tonight, God is looking for men and women that He can send forth carrying His glory so that He can start the great signs, wonders, and miracles that He wants to start. I'm reading a few places where signs, wonders, and miracles are happening. But as I read them, God says, daughter, this is not of Me. You know, not all of this is of Me. Some of this is man-made. Because I'm saying, God, You promised me, as I'm reading this, and He said, some of this is man-made, so don't get upset. He said, I'm working things all out on your behalf. So what I'm saying here is, don't get upset if you see somebody else getting more than you think they deserve, and you're not getting anything. Know that God knows exactly where He's taking you to, in His perfect time, and He's going to take you there. you just have to get your foot in the world that you still have there. Get it, suck it out of there, God's saying. Just, it's like you're in miry clay. Just suck it out. Now plant it on the solid rock with the other one, and then go forth with him. Quit trying to do your own thing your own way. God is saying you're being betrayed by your own emotions. You lie to yourself, you're self-deceived, and you think you're someplace you're not. And God wants us not to do that anymore. Everybody in here, you should be a strong tower. I look around, you've been here so many times. You should be a strong tower that God could just use you at any given moment he wants to do great signs, wonders, and miracles. All right, so a time and a season. This is a time and this is a season where God wants true men and women of God. And I'm here to say, with your countenance changed. In other words, you quit looking like you just come out of a prune factory somewhere. And you have the glory of God and the light of God on you. And wherever you walk, you will win souls. You will attract people to you and you will win souls. This is what God's looking for tonight. Now, do you want to be one of those? God's saying right now, tonight is going to be a night when he's going to shine his glory upon you. And if you come up here and say you want to be that person, he shines his glory on you. You can't go backwards. You cannot go backwards. You have to change every fiber of your being and stay changed. If you start going backwards, God said, I'm finished with you. I'm finished with the deceit and the lies, the pretenses. I want every bit of you, or I don't want any of you tonight. And if you come up here and you let God put his glory upon you, and you're really serious, then God's going to start using you with signs, wonders, and miracles. But you can no longer be the old man. You have to be the brand new man in Christ Jesus. So the altar's open for that purpose.